Amen. Thank you, Vicki. That'll put you in the Christmas spirit, won't it? Amen. Hey, God is good. And all the time, God really, really is good. Look around somebody and give them a real smile and a wave that says, hey, look, I'm glad you're here. And don't look like the Grinch that stole Christmas. Put a real smile on your face. Don't look like you've been eating sour persimmons. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito there, who is actually monitoring our online audience so that those that happen to be watching realize there's somebody there with you. You're not out there in some cyber void somewhere. But we're glad that you're here today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And like I say, we trust and pray that God will help us as we prepare our hearts to meet Him in this place today, that we will have that opportunity to hear from Him, to hear from His Word, and then also be able to enhance our lives simply because we've drawn close to Him as a family of God today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to You today, we do so realizing that there are so many things on our hearts, our minds, our agendas, and Lord, we seem to just run from place to place to place, but Lord, I pray that You'll help us over these next few moments just to be able to pause and in the stillness of your house, to be able to take that deep breath and to truly concentrate upon You. And Father, to worship You in every aspect of what we do. Lord, from the prayers that we lift up, Lord, I'm praying that they won't be lip service, but Father, they would be true communication to You. Lord, when we lift up our voice in song to sing, may it not be something that we do repetitively and habitual, but Lord, may we pay attention to the words that we're offering as worship in Your presence. Lord, as we gather around Your Word today, I pray that You will truly speak to our hearts. And Lord, as we take up the offering as an act of worship to You, Father, I pray that You will guide us and be with us along the way in that aspect. So everything we do, Father, is worship to You. Help us, Father, not to be on autopilot, that today we would truly be attentive to what the Holy Spirit speaks and says to our hearts. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in that time that we historically take our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and I've said to folks before, that is the offering that 100% of that goes to keep our missionaries out there on the field. And these are our international missionaries. And some people may say, well, didn't we just do that back around Easter? That's the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and the Easter offering is for what's called North American missions. That's Canada, United States, and Mexico. But the Christmas offering goes to international missions, which is everything other than Canada, United States, and Mexico. And that keeps our missionaries out there on the field so they don't have to worry about coming back and doing furlough. 100% of your Lottie Moon gifts go specifically to them. So we're taking that offering through the end of the month. There's a couple ways you can do that. One way is just take one of the envelopes that you may have or see, and on that just write Lottie Moon. That will go there. Now remember, don't use your tithe as your Lottie Moon offering. There's a difference between a tithe and an offering, and sometimes we don't teach the younger generation that today. The tithe is what the Lord requires. The offering is what you give beyond that. So Lottie Moon is one of those things that should be an offering. The Lord says to bring the tithe into the storehouse. And some people, they sit back and say, well, you know, what are you preaching on giving again? All that preacher wants is my money. No, all I want is for you to be blessed because the Lord promises a great blessing if we're faithful in that area. So it don't have anything to do with us, and it has everything to do with you. May we be found faithful in that. But one of the things that we don't often have opportunity to do is to be up close and personal with some of those missionaries. And that's the reason why during this time of the year, as we collect this offering, and by the way, we'll be taking it through the end of the month. You can just put that in the offering plate as it comes around, mark it Lottie Moon. But we try to give each and everybody an opportunity to see some of the work that our international missionaries are doing. And we generally do that by way of video. Today is no exception to the rule. So we want to introduce you to another one of our groups of international missionaries that are out there on the field. Go ahead and run that, Tim.
Most rising from the barracks where the Royal Guard still held out, the view of the Kuwait city just before 10 on the 2nd of August.
When someone takes an AK-47 and put it to your chest and cock it, you know that you're only one pull of a trigger away.
Some people would say that my parents weren't very responsible parents for taking me to Kuwait where the Persian Gulf War broke out. Some people would say that's irresponsible to take your kids with you into your calling where there's so much suffering. But rather than it taking me further from God, it actually helped take me closer to God. Because one of the things I learned at an early age, God actually calls the people of God to move towards the hardest places of this earth. Nobody knew anything about Kuwait. It was just this little dot on this map in the Middle East. But 3 months later, on August 2nd, 1990, Saddam Hussein and Iraqi troops invaded Kuwait, and we were living right downtown. There were four sets of Iraqi troops that broke into our apartment. And as a 10-year-old, I just began like crying. And I didn't actually know if I was gonna live. I didn't know if we were actually gonna even make it through that day.
We knew we had to leave quickly. I was held downstairs by gunpoint, but when I came back up the steps and we all jumped in a car and drove out of downtown, and there were Iraqi soldiers all around us, and we drove right through the middle of them as if God blinded them. And then we all gather into the American embassy. Within a few days, the embassy got locked down. They eventually turn off the water, the fresh water, and electricity to get us out. Heat was 120 degrees, no air conditioning. But the hardest part, I think, came 6 weeks later when Lori and Peter and Aaron left the embassy, and I turned them over to Iraqi soldiers to take to the airport. Those are hard moments, even this many, 30 years later. Because I want to live out God's call. And part of that living out that call is being connected to God's spirit. And what is God asking you to do? And is he big enough to take care of you? Or do you think you have to do it all yourself? That is the struggle of following God. And then turn to God. God, if my life is taken, are you going to take care of the boys? Are you going to take care of the wife? Can I trust you? What was going on in the background of the story that I didn't know was thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people were praying for me personally.
My mom, my brother, and I now were back in Nashville living. And it was coming up for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention puts together, a week of prayer leading into this big offering every December. And there were literally millions of Christians all throughout the country that were praying specifically for my dad to be released.
And it really wasn't real to me until I got on the plane in Baghdad that I was actually going to leave and survive and be home. It's not about me. It's about the millions of people praying and God doing a miraculous event.
I believe that God is looking for people who are willing to move towards the hard places and stay even when it's hard, and trust that the Holy Spirit still speaks and confirms his promises in our lives.
Me or look at, to angels from the realms of glory. Page 94. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
About next Sunday night. Praying for our choir members as we've got several, David and Donna out traveling this week, others out sick, Jeff recovering from his bypass surgery. So just pray your blessing on them so we can have a great service next Sunday night. Thank you. Go tell it on the mountain, 95.
Oh,
today. We're actually going to be looking at a couple of varied passages, I guess I'll say it that way, or a couple of different passages concerning the Christmas story. But there's something I want you to consider, and I want you to think about today as we look at one of the aspects of Christmas. And one of those things is the fact that we know the whole story. We know how it ends. You know, as we gather at Christmas and we look at it, it truly is a joyous time, is it not? I mean, yeah, this is a time a lot of people look for. But I want to carry you back to the days in which Christ was born, just before Christ was born and as he was born. And I want you to think about what was taking place, because here's what I want you to understand. And don't throw stones at me yet till you hear me out, all right? You know, we talk about the beautiful night it was, and it was. But it was also a very dark and scandalous time. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, Christmas is not dark and scandalous. Well, like I said, hear me out for a minute along the way. You know, if you think about that very, very first Christmas, and you think about, you know, how the events and everything are portrayed, and everybody is coming around the manger scene, and we sing the hymns, and that's all well and good. But the truth is that the first Christmas was dark because of many of the scandals that would have been involved around it. And I want to touch base with you on just a few of those. Now, remember, hear me out to the end, because Christmas truly is a beautiful and glorious time. But there's a reason why I want us to look at it from this perspective, because I believe that God still works today in the same way that he worked back then. And how many times today do we find ourselves in circumstances and situations that we do not understand? And how many times do we look at those things and we look at them as dark events, but yet we don't know the end of the story? This is a story we know the end of. We know how it came out. So I want you to think about some of the scandals that probably, or not probably, they were most likely around the Christmas story. Now, you've heard them before, but maybe you haven't heard of them in regard to the fact that they were somewhat scandalous. Now, as we think about that, think about Mary for just a moment. Think about, you know, what it was like when Mary was approached by the angel. Now, we know history tells us that Mary was probably a teenager, right? We know that the Lord approached her and said, "You are a woman of favor." That's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't most of us want the Lord to come and say, "You have found favor with God"? Nothing scandalous about that, is it? But then what the Lord said to her was, "You are going to bring forth your firstborn son, and he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He will be laid in a manger." Here's the problem. Here's where the problem starts to come in. Now scandal starts to look like it's happening, doesn't it? Why? Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, again, you have to know a little bit of history about that. Espousal in that days was almost the same thing as marriage, okay? It's just that they were not, the engagement period was a legal binding contract, just like the marriage was. So Mary being espoused to Joseph meant she was spoken for. Legally, it was considered almost the same thing as marriage. And now she is going to be with child, and the child is not Joseph's, her espoused husband-to-be. Can you imagine the scandal around that? What would happen? Again, I want you to insert yourself into that story for just a minute. And all of a sudden, here is Mary. Now, if she's found favor with God, she's a good girl, isn't she? She's the one that when people would look at in society, they would sit back and say, "You know what? If I had a daughter, I'd want her to be just like her." Yet she's the one who did things right. She was kind-hearted. She was loving. All these things. And she's found favor with God. And the next thing you know, the news hits town that she's pregnant. What do you think people thought and said at that point? Do you think they said, "That is such a sweet girl, and I am so proud of her"? And you know what? It's not Joseph's. See, that's where the scandalous part. Now, listen, it would have been scandalous at that point, even if it was Joseph's child. because they were only a spouse. They weren't married yet. Folks, I want to tell you something today, and I don't want to get on a tirade, but I'm going to jump up on my soapbox for just a minute. America particularly has lowered the standard so that we can reach it instead of leaving God's standard where it is so that we could rise to it. Now, the interesting part about that was, could you imagine what the talk was on that day? Could you imagine the gossip that was taking place? Could you imagine the people who were feeling victory because Mary was the good girl, and see, look at her, she's pregnant, it's not Joseph's. You would have never thought that about her. So could you imagine the thoughts that people were having about this young lady at this particular point? They were not good ones, were they? They were probably not, you know, thought it was kind of like, yeah, I told you, you just wait around a while and see. Now, I want to ask you this. Was that Mary's fault? Was it Mary's fault that she had found favor with God? Was it Mary's fault that she had done things right and was going to be used by the hand of God to bring forth our Savior? No. But did everybody around her just gather around her and love on her? The answer to that question is no as well. Now, why do I say these things? I say these things for you and I to understand a couple of points, but one of those points is simply this, that often when you follow God, there's going to be some things that people aren't going to understand, and oftentimes you yourself may not understand them. And that means that you're not always going to be the popular person. Yeah, I'm sure that Mary probably wanted to say, you just don't get it. You know what? This is a God thing, and yet you're judging me based on earthly standards. Now, you would sit back and say, well, people kind of had the right to because there had never been a virgin birth before, and there's never been one after that. So in the logical human mind, none of this made any sense whatsoever. And because it didn't, it turned out to be scandalous, as it were. Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, the one who was the most trusted and significant, one of the most significant, if not the most significant, women of the Bible. Think about it for a minute. Her role did not go according to her plans. You have to think that Mary was probably just like any other teenage girl. There was excitement. Yet she had found the love of her life. And you know what you do? You sit back and you say, okay, well, here's what's going on. In the first year, these are the things we're going to do. We're going to try to plan this all out. And then, you know what? We're going to have some children. We're going to raise a little family. And we're just going to be happy, happy, happy where we are. And all is going to be most right with the world. And then God steps in. Mary, I got a project for you. You're going to have a child. Oh, by the way, it's not going to be Joseph's. That was not her plan. How many of y'all have ever experienced God's plan when it didn't go with your plan? Yeah, boy. Yeah, sometimes it's hard for us to get away from that. Because for Mary, if you think about it, her hopes, her dreams, all these people were going to talk about her. Do you think people talked about Mary? Let me rephrase that. Do you think people talked unkindly about Mary? Yes, they did. You know, I think Mary probably had some pretty thick skin. Although the words hurt, I think she understood the greater good that would come forth. But the bottom line was, it was not according to her plan. That's why, you know, she was troubled when she received the news. Remember, it says that the angel came to her and said, you know, that you're going to bring forth. And it said this news was troubling. Would it be troubling to you? I mean, put yourself in her shoes. Like, no, man, you got the wrong person. Look, I got plans. I got dreams. I've already got the guy. We're already a spouse. There's no, I can't do this. Did she do that? No. She cooperated. She was just a teenager. Being a mother alone was going to be terrifying, not to mention becoming pregnant out of wedlock. Can you imagine explaining that to your parents? Could you imagine the people that are around you that thought so highly of you? And all the while, you're sitting there going, I know people are talking about me behind my back, but they just don't understand the whole story. It still hurts, doesn't it? I'm sure that Mary probably caught the snide little looks and the people going, yeah, that's the one. That's her over there. That's the one we're talking about. I'm sure she saw those things along the way. Even more challenging is that she would have to raise the Son of God. How would you like that one? Got to raise Jesus along the way. Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's one of the things that we need to learn out of this particular story is simply that Mary's cooperation is critical. It's critical. Mary needs to cooperate. Without her yes during an unexpected encounter with God, it would have been unimaginable to think about how Christmas would have turned out. Now, I'm not saying that God can't, you know, have his will and have his way. But you know what? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better when God calls us if we're not kicking and screaming into his will, but rather we said, yes, God, let's go. You know, last week I talked about the difference between the roller coaster and the merry-go-round, remember? God's calling us to get on some roller coasters instead of just the merry-go-round. Merry-go-round is comfortable. The merry-go-round doesn't get your heart rate up. The roller coaster does. It blows your hair back. It brings the excitement. It brings the exhilaration. Mary's cooperation was critical. Now, how does Mary's story fit into your Christmas sermon about your life? Has God called you to cooperate with some things that he's got going on, even when it's not your plan? Are you the person who's willing to say, Lord, I don't get it, but I'm on board. Show me what it is that you want me to do. Show me what you want me to be. And here's another thing I want us to understand. When we do that, there's going to be people who are not going to understand it. There are going to be the people who are going to have the whisper campaigns about you. There are going to be those who think you're crazy. Can you imagine Mary trying diligently to explain to somebody what truly happened? When she says, look, I want you to know I'm with child. It's not Joseph's, but it's not anybody else's either. I mean, would you believe that story? Let's be real. No. And then she says, no, you got to understand that an angel of the Lord visited me and told me that I was going to be the one who would birth the Messiah. Isn't that cool? Mary, have you lost your cotton-picking mind? Are you crazy? Look, man, did your mom and daddy not talk to you about the birds and the bees? Come on. Listen, in all honesty, there's not a person in this room who probably would have believed Mary's true story, would we? There would have been doubts. There would have been discussions. There would have been talks. And all the while, Mary's sitting back saying, I'm just trying to be what God wanted me to be. And you guys are not understanding it. It's pretty straightforward with Mary. It's pretty straightforward with each and every one of us. We have to say yes every time that the Lord calls us to be a part of his divine plan. And God is still doing that today in our midst. Now, don't get me wrong. There will be a scripture, but I'm going to end with the scripture today. I know a lot of y'all are sitting there saying, this guy's going to preach and he's not going to. Yeah, I am. I'm back preaching this time. And you'll understand it when we get to the end of it. So there was the situation of Mary. But there was also the situation of Joseph. Yeah, what would Christmas be if Joseph ran away? Now, in the Bible, it says, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Don't be afraid. Now I want you to put yourself in Joseph's place. Obviously, Joseph had heard the news from Mary before the angel of the Lord came to him. And some of y'all are sitting there going, well, how do you know that? Because remember what it says, that as we read on in this story about Joseph, it said that Joseph, yet considering putting her away privately, that is what that means, In other words, yeah, technically by law, he could have had her killed. How would you like to live by the laws in that day? Because she had broken the contract. She hadn't done what she was supposed to do. She had not maintained her vow, as it were. But Joseph loved her. Joseph didn't want to see her die. But he also said, I don't want any part of her because she cheated on me. Evidently, Mary has told Joseph that she is with child. Could you imagine that devastating news? Remember we said a minute ago that things don't always go as planned when you're following God's plan. You see, when you're following God's plan, it's not your plan. Do you think that was what Joseph said? Joseph said, oh, I tell you what, I found this great gal. We're going to get engaged. She's going to be pregnant by somebody besides me. She's going to have a child, and we're going to live happily ever after. No. That was not his plan. His plan was probably the same thing. You know, we'll get the house out on the outskirts of town, you know, have the white picket fence and 2.5 children and 3 dogs. Yeah, and I'll, you know, I'll just do my work and we'll be happy and all will be most right with the world. The plans just got completely blown up when it comes down to Joseph. What if Joseph didn't heed the message? The angel appears and says, listen, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what has been conceived within her is of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, could you imagine Joseph? I don't care. See, you and I would be like, I don't care. I don't want her anymore. Is that what Joseph did? No, you see, what Joseph had to do as well was say yes to God's plan. Yes, Lord. I don't get it. I don't like it. But I get it that it's you, and I'm going to trust you. Remember what I said a moment ago? I said there's a lot of scandal involved around the Christmas story. Are you starting to pick up what I'm putting down? Based on everybody else's horizontal view, this would be a very, very scandalous thing that took place. What if you were in Joseph's position? Would you have been willing to obey what he asked you to do? You see, the Bible doesn't offer a whole lot of details and dialogue about Joseph. However, the cultural perception surrounding Mary's pregnancy might have caused a man to quietly divorce her. Thus what the scripture said, right? That's why I believe with all my heart that Joseph knew that she was pregnant before the angel came to her, because I'm sure in his heart of hearts he was hurt. I'm sure that he felt like she had been dishonorable to their relationship, and he was crushed inside. But yet he loved her, and he didn't want to see her die, so he was just going to quietly divorce her and move on with his life. Could you imagine what it must have been like? Could you imagine the talk of the people? Imagine Joseph's buddies. You staying with her after what she did to you? You're still going to stay with her? Remember what I said. I'm sure that Joseph also, parents had talked to him about the birds and the bees. And all his buddies are sitting there going, she was unfaithful to you. There's no way this happens. Look, we know how this works. And yet, you're going to keep her? You're an idiot. That's probably what they'd have said. Isn't that what they would say in today's society? And yet, Joseph said, I'm going to say yes to God. Although my heart hurts, although I don't understand it, I will say yes to God. Think about the cultural perception of that day. Think about Joseph being able legally to just walk away. But yet Joseph heeded God's call, and he remained at Mary's side. In life, the most difficult situations can make Christians abandon their faith in God. You've seen it. You've been tempted, because there's been a difficult situation in your life when you have and you've cried out to God, and God didn't answer your prayers the way that you wanted him to, and there were times when you thought that he wasn't there, and you were ready to walk away. And all God's people said, you know what I'm talking about. And situations like this are a test. You know what I love? I love the fact that this particular video that we talked about, Lottie Moon, was exactly, the guy was exactly saying what we're preaching about this morning. You don't always know. You don't always understand what's going on, but you have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, I am willing to be an instrument in your hand, regardless of what everybody else outside in the periphery thinks about what you're doing. When you know that God has given you a directive, when you know God has given you an order. Now, here's the thing. That doesn't mean that it hurts any less when you're the item of ridicule, when you are the item of people talking down, back, or behind you. And yet, Joseph and Mary continued on in their relationship with one another, seeing Christians from the eyes of Joseph, or seeing Christmas from the eyes of Joseph allows us to realize that the only way forward is to move forward with God's plan. Now, most of us know that. That's not new to anybody here, is it? None of this that I have just given you is news by any stretch of the imagination. But you see, what happens is, I've said this 1,000 times, our perspective on how we view things can also determine how we go forward. You see, at Christmas, we don't choose to look at the scandalous parts of the Christmas. We tend to choose to look at the fact that it was the birth of our newborn Savior who came into this world, who lived 33 sinless years, who died on a cross, who was buried in a barred tomb, who rose again on the third day, who's coming back for his children, and thanks be to God, I'm one of them, and I'm going that way. That's what we like to think about when we think about Christmas. We don't like to think about what it must have been like, the dirty part of it. I don't know how many of y'all remember this, but years ago, I preached a sermon called Mud. Y'all remember? Anybody remember that one? Geez, I'm making a lasting impact here at Central Baptist Church. But Mud? No, that was what the title of the sermon was, about mud. And remember what I said? It's kind of like, yeah, I was that kind of person who, believe it or not, at one point in my life, I kind of like to have the car cleaned and that sort of thing. And yeah, then you have kids. When you have kids, that don't happen anymore, right? There's toys that are laying around the house and everything. And I can still remember, you know, Blake coming home from practice and throwing his football stuff in the car, and it smelled like a locker room. And yeah, there was mud. In the thing, and I was griping one day about chunks of mud, but then it dawned on me about something. You know, without the mud, there wouldn't be any Friday night ball games. Without the mud, there wouldn't be all the good stuff that comes along with it. And see, you can either choose to look at the mud, or you can look at the joys that come and follow that. You know what? All of a sudden, mud looked different to me. You start to thank God for the mud, because of what it brings about. Perspective. How are we looking at Christmas? We're looking at it from the good way, but I'll tell you one thing. There's not anybody in here, I believe, with all my heart, that would have wanted to have volunteered to have been in either Joseph or Mary's position. Anybody want to sign up for that one? Anybody want to sign up for the ridicule? Anybody want to sign up for the voices, the whispering campaigns? Anybody want to sign up for any of that was going on? But yet, here we are today talking about Joseph and Mary because they were faithful. But I also want you to see what all they had to go through to be faithful. You think that very first Christmas falls way short of people's portrayal of what it's like when you look at everything. You think about how dark it was. You think about Mary. You think about her situation. And despite all these scandalous details, this is how God chose to become incarnate to humanity. Did you think about that? You think God could have found a different way to do it? Yeah. But he didn't. And one thing I love about God today is this. He still wants to use his people, that's you and me, to accomplish his will. But I'll tell you one thing. We need to pick up some spiritual weights and become spiritually strong. We need to have a spiritual workout, because there's going to be a lot of stuff you don't understand. Shoot, man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that God's asked me to do, and I'm sitting there going, what? Are you kidding me? Do you know how this is going to look? Do you know what people are going to say? You know what God says? What's more important, what everybody else says or what I say. And you will find yourself in circumstances and situations just like Joseph and Mary. Now, why did I bring that gruesome part of the Christmas story up? Because I want to share with you the focal passage, and this is what I want to kind of close this out with today, but the focal passage comes out of John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Now, verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, here's the key verse. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." By the way, that also means, that comprehend is also translated overcome. Let me read it again. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it." Now, why do I say that? Because remember what I started off with? There's a lot of scandalous, dark times leading in to the birth story of Jesus Christ. But yet, notice what that says. "And the light shines in the darkness." In the darkness of your life, the light shines. And it says, "And the darkness did not comprehend." The darkness didn't overtake it. So in the midst of being what it is that God has called you to do, when the whole world doesn't seem to understand it, and you are taking those steps with Him, and the path gets very, very dark, understand this. Jesus is going to light your way. He is going to be the voice of reason in the midst of the darkness. Have you ever noticed that if you've ever been, now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands, but I know that there's at least at one point that some of us have been a little bit of afraid of the dark, okay? Maybe when you were a kid, maybe when you were an adult. I know there have been some places that I've been before that dark, it was louder than it had ever been. I've experienced total darkness before. If you've never experienced that, that's a weird thing. I mean, like totally dark. Like if you were buried and covered up, there's no hint of light whatsoever. That's a creepy feeling. It's a creepy feeling when you're on patrol and you know somebody's out there and in that darkness, and it's just that crazy kind of full body shake kind of feeling that you get along the way. But have you ever been in the midst of the darkness and then all of a sudden you heard a familiar voice? Man, I still remember that one. That scared me a little bit at first, but yeah. I was in the midst of that almost like panic, and then a friend of mine said, "Golly, it's dark here, isn't it?" And I knew I wasn't alone. And when I knew I wasn't alone, it just felt better. Well, folks, for you that are walking in the midst of darkness and the panic is about to set in, I want you to know that He, Jesus Christ, is the light that shines in the darkness. He is the one that says, "Don't be afraid." I love that. I've preached that so many times at Christmas, but what was it that He told? He has said so many times throughout His word, "Fear not." Isn't that what He said to the shepherds? "Fear not." He told Mary, "Don't be afraid." He told Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take her as your wife." Don't be afraid, y'all. When you're walking with Jesus, He's saying, "Don't be afraid. I got this. I know that your steps feel a little weird. I know that there seems to be darkness around you, but you keep walking, and before you know it, you're going to step into the light. The light will permeate all that you are. The light, because, are you ready? Because you have been faithful. Now, along the way, you're going to get made fun of. Along the way, like Joseph and Mary, people are going to talk about you. People are going to call you crazy. They're going to call you everything that you can imagine. And we so much want to defend ourselves, don't we? "I'm not crazy. You just don't understand God." You really want to freak them out? Just smile at them. And you can even actually say, bless your heart. Because let me put it to you this way. When you get ready to give up, just remember this. God chose you for a reason. There's nobody else that can do what God has chosen you to do. And He's placed you in a position that when people look at it, listen, man, in my life, there have been some great accomplishments. And they have been so great that when people look at those accomplishments, they say, that wasn't Roy. He's not smart enough to do that. He can't pull that off. So if it's not Roy, then it had to have been of God. And He gets the credit and the glory for it. Isn't that great? And yet we sit back and say, oh yeah, we can do that. Not a problem. Well, do you? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are worriers? Oh, see, last time I checked, the Bible says, by taking thought or worrying, can you add one cubit to your stature? He says, I take care of the birds of the field. You don't see a robin out there plowing the ground and planting seeds and harvesting and putting up in barns. He said, but yet, I've never seen a skinny robin in the dead of wintertime when everything's dead. It's always in big fat ones. You know why? Because the Lord takes care of them. And He says, if I take care of the birds of the air, how much more will I take care of you, my children? But I'm going to ask you to trust me. Well, Lord, this has never happened before. He says, I know. Lord, this defies science and physics. I know. Lord, people are going to talk about me. They will. Lord, it might even cost me something. It will. But are you willing to say yes? Imagine what Christmas would have looked like if Joseph or Mary wouldn't have said yes. I mean, again, God has His way of bringing His will about. But just imagine if they didn't cooperate. Or just imagine if Joseph begrudgingly took Mary as his wife. I don't want to touch that woman. I don't want to be around her. I'm just here because I have to, because it's legal. Everybody's already talking about me and everything else. I can't believe you, woman. And Mary's sitting there going, look, Joseph, look, I didn't sign up for this. I was drafted. I don't know what the conversations were like. All I know was they were faithful. And I do know that there were hard times. But the birth of Jesus Christ gives hope to everyone, regardless of the scandal, regardless of the darkness that they experienced, and regardless of the scandal and the darkness that you experience, remember Christmas Day and how God gave light to the darkest parts of the world and the darkest parts of your life through Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, I pray that you will continually think about it. Not just during Christmas time, but I pray that when things seem crazy, that you will realize that He is the light in the darkness. And I want you to understand that the way He does things is not the way that you and I do. I've attested to this fact that God's done some incredible things in my life. I could look back and name them and name them and name them and be here all day counting blessings. But I will make you this promise as well. There is not one single time that God did it Roy's way. Not one. He always did it His way. You know, the more you do that and the older you get, the more spiritually mature you become. All of a sudden, you get to the point where when God asks you to do something like that, you go, okay. And the world starts talking about you and you're like, pfft. I said, you know, that's really one cool thing about getting older. You don't care what everybody else thinks about you. I love that part of it. People are going to say stuff about you. Well, let them talk. I think a comedian said one time, I get you one of them pair of 1970s polyester pants and get you one of them hippie shirts with a big collar on it and some dingo boots, go walking. Now, Blake probably wouldn't want to walk with me anywhere. He'd be like, Dad, people are staring. Be like, yep, there's something about a dingo, man. You just don't, listen, we need to get to the point where we don't care what people think when we're following Jesus. Because if we do, we will turn and we will walk away. We will lower the bar. We will lower the standard. And God said, you're not going to lower my standard. It's not that we lower his standard that it equals where we are. It is that we keep his standard high and we rise to the challenge and the occasion. And it takes some work. I don't know what that scene was like. I don't even know what it was like. And I probably, you know, there's times that I've said before that when I get to heaven, there's people that I want to ask about things. I don't think I want to ask Joseph and Mary about how their conversation went when Mary broke that news to Joseph. I think I'd leave that one alone. But you know, I might ask, listen, how did you feel through the time of that pregnancy when everybody was looking at you and everybody was talking to you? And by the way, this was Mary was a teenager. Teenagers really care about what people think, see, feel, and believe about them. Y'all remember those days, don't you? I did. Even today, I sit back and think, why did I care so much about what they thought back then? And that's because we're looking for that significance. And here's teenage Mary being talked about by so many people. But you know what? Even though she was talked about by so many people, she today is talked about by so many people. Not in the same way. Because you see, we've seen the end of the story. You don't see the end of the story in your life. When you're going through the tough times and when you're going through the hard times, you don't see the end of the story. But listen, we can claim the promises that the Lord told us, that he's not going to do anything to hurt us, that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose, and that he's trying to do things not to harm us, but to enhance and advance us. Doesn't the Word say that? Okay, I'm asking that as a question. Does the Word say those things? Yeah, it does. So if it says it and we can believe it, apply it to the middle of our circumstances and where we are right now and say, Lord, you know what? I may not get it, but I'm going to keep on plowing. And maybe some, you know, in my life, there have been things I didn't understand until afterwards. And I look back and it was like, oh, sorry, I fought you on that one, bro. And he's like, you're just a knucklehead, but that's okay. I can use knuckleheads too. Sometimes knuckleheads are the ones that just go for it. Everybody's got that person in your life that you're like, they just throw caution to the wind. I remember a time growing up back home that there was a bridge that went over the river, and we had this wild idea. Brad, you guys come on up. Had this wild idea. I bet that'd be cool to jump off this bridge into the water. Well, so what did I do? I'm sitting there going, it looks deep enough, but I'm just not. My buddy, I'm sitting there saying, well, it looks deep enough, and I, here he goes. Hits the water and goes, come on in, it's great. And I'm like, was it deep enough? Yeah. I think sometimes God just needs my buddy. Then when he says jump, you just jump. That we don't sit back and evaluate, is it deep enough? Are there rocks down there? What's the fall speed going to be like? Should I belly flop? Do I go in straight? Do I cannonball? We evaluate everything, don't we? Not my buddy. He's like, hey, that'd be a cool idea. Well, let me look at it. I was like, well, he answered all the questions for us. God needs some jumpers. Are you going to be one of them? Now, before you get crazy on me, I want you to understand, you also have to make sure that it's God telling you to jump. Do you get that? Now, how's he going to confirm that? He confirms that through his word. He confirms that through prayer. He confirms that through sermons. He confirms that through godly counsel in your life. He will confirm what he's telling you to do. You better know that he's the one telling you to do it. Because I've also had a friend that would jump and the water wasn't deep enough. And it was like, I don't think I'd do that. Ooh, that looks painful. It was. There's crazy circumstances in our lives right now. Every one of us, I can promise you that. But in the middle of the darkness, remember, he's the light. And he still calls his people to do extraordinary things. And it's going to be bizarre, just like Mary and Joseph. The question is, will you be one to step up and say, yep, I'll go, Lord. Hey, they're going to talk about you. I know. There are going to be people not going to like you. I know. There are going to be people who think you're crazy. I know. Even close people to you, maybe even family members. Yeah, I get it. Let's go. Let's get on the journey. Let's watch what God will do. Through the midst of the scandal came the greatest, greatest thing ever. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at that in regard to your life. I'm thankful that today we don't look at Christmas as scandalous, but we look at it for the outcome that our Savior was born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and down the road paid the price for our sins that we might have eternal life. So my question to you is simply this. Have you received Him? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking if you're a religious person. I'm not asking if you go to church. You know, there's some people in here that I know probably you have been miffed with God because God, you feel like God's left you hanging because he hadn't shown up in your circumstances in a way you wanted him to. Sometimes I talk to people and I sit back and I say, tell me one of the toughest things in your life. And they will tell me and I'll say, well, let me ask you what came from that. And I can still remember a guy telling me, he said, one of the most hurtful things that happened to me was I lost my position as a youth pastor in a church. And I said, what happened? He said, well, I became a pastor. The Lord led me, you know, into the pastorate over here. And I was like, okay, how's that working for you? He said, I'm happier than I've ever been in my whole life. I said, okay, so what was the problem before? I said, yeah, it stung a little bit when you were going through it. But look at what, sometimes God has to do that to move us because he knows we wouldn't move otherwise, right? Sometimes he has to throw us out of our chair to get us on our feet. Sometimes he has to burn the house down to get us out of the house. And he will do it. But I will promise you that if you look back over those times, what he did for you down the road was far better than where you were. And he knew the only way he would get you moving was to put those things in your life. So have you trusted him? Have you given your heart to him? Have you realized, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior? If not, I'm asking you right where you are just to simply pray, Lord, today I realize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection. And thank you that he's coming again, specifically for me. Help me live for you in Jesus' name. And listen, I'll make the promise that if you did that and you truly meant it, there's rejoicing of the saints in heaven right now. He says, you're one of my children. Now, he has expectations that you walk like one of his children. That's what that Bible's all about. By the way, if you're not discipleship is fun. Growing in God's grace is fun. If it's not fun, you're not doing it right. I love being with God's people. We love getting around, sitting around talking about biblical passages and that sort of thing. That's what it's all about. That's how you grow. That's fun. Listen, let us help you. If you trusted Christ, please let us know. In just a moment, if you're here, please just come down here and say, look, man, I trusted Jesus today. That's what we're here for. We're going to celebrate. I'm not going to call you out or anything. It's a lot of fun. Maybe you're here today and you have been that bonehead. You have allowed what people have said or done as you have followed God to slow you down or sideline you. You've thrown your hands up and you said, I'm done. Well, God's not done with you yet. If he had you on a journey, he's just waiting on you to get back up and get moving. Today's that day. Would you say, Lord, I realize the error of my ways. And Lord, I'm getting up and I'm heading down the path towards you. You're always with me. You will always bring light in the dark. Help me to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. I like what one of his disciples said, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. You know what that means? Lord, I believe you. This is just a little hard for me to wrap my head around. That's what that means. What is it you need to do today? Listen, don't let it go any further. Don't let the conviction go any further. Put it to rest today. Do business with God. As if you need me, I'm up here. If you need this altar, it's up here. As we stand, as we sing hymn number 282, Living for Jesus, as Brad comes and leads us. Business with God, whatever it may be, because if you came today to hear from him, you heard from him. He spoke something into your heart and your life through his word. What will you do with that? Will you act on it? Will you react? What has he called you to do? Don't let it go. Nail it down right now that this truly will be the happiest, merriest Christmas for the right reason that you ever had. This time I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, you are good to us in so many ways, and all the provision of our lives is because of you. Lord, today we pause and thank you for all that you supply in our lives. And as we come to this time of worship to give back to you that which you have so richly blessed us with, may we truly be found faithful. May you bless the gift as well as the giver, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Vicky. Let me just get you a couple quick things. We'll get you on out of here. Birthdays that are happening this week. Emily Wright, the youngest daughter of Don and Doris. We'll be having her birthday is actually today. So if you get a chance to wish Emily a happy birthday. This coming Wednesday, Cherie Johansson will be having a birthday. Is that right, Paul? Okay, good. I was going to say, if not, then I'll just take that check back that I wrote. Cherie has a birthday Wednesday. Vicky Jones has a birthday this coming Wednesday, as well as Vivian Wells. Again, those are on Wednesday, and then this coming Friday, my bride, Jana, will celebrate another turn around the sun. So as you get an opportunity, be sure to pass out a hug, a handshake, a check, cash, whatever. They'll take them, I'm sure. And they look forward to just knowing that that you love them and that you appreciate them. Let me hit just a couple of things, and then we'll get you on out of here. A lot of stuff that is going on, particularly like today. My D-Life group will meet in the conference room, my discipleship group, at 3:30. Awana is at its regular time from 5:30 to 7 in the gym. Now, everybody pay careful attention. This is the last Sunday of Awana before Christmas break. So there will be no Awana from next week until the 31st. So in other words, after tonight, Awana will resume January the 7th. Let me just say it that way. That's easier for somebody like me to remember. So we do have Awana tonight, and then we're on Christmas break until January the 7th. Choir practice, 4:45 right here. There will not be Bible study. They're working on tonight, adult Bible study, that is. No adult Bible study in here tonight, essentially for the rest of December. They're working on the cantata. David and Donna are also out of town, so pray for them that they have safe travels and some rest. But we will let everybody know what's taking place. Band practice. Y'all practicing tonight? No band practice tonight, okay? So they won't have that. I think everybody's getting either ready to play or it's too late to get ready to play, right? All right, let's see. Monday, Steve Kelly has a discipleship group, 6:30, if you're part of Steve's D group. They meet in the conference room every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. The guys meet at the Olympic in Colfax. No agenda, just a time of fellowship and food. So if you can join them, drop by 10 o'clock a.m. every Wednesday, Olympic in Colfax. Also, the bags for the homeless. Y'all remember us talking about those. I think we still have a few if somebody would need them. Next Sunday, be sure you can bring them anytime, but next Sunday is our last collection of those. We have partnered with Awaken Church. They do Church Under the Bridge the third week of every month, and they will, as they go down there to provide a meal and then also the service for Under the Bridge, they're doing this ministry to the homeless. And what that is really there's little bags that you can just put items that you think somebody that's homeless might need, whether it's tissues, toothbrushes, deodorant, what snacks. I want the snack bags, what I want. But if you could pack one of those, or if you need some, be sure to let us know. But bring them to the church, or next Sunday is our last collection, because we'll need to get them to Awaken to take down there when they go. I think they're actually going on the Saturday before the Christmas Eve of the 23rd. That's Saturday, isn't it? Don't y'all look at me like a monkey working a math problem. Is Saturday the 23rd? 23rd, okay. All right, there we go. That's my people there. The 23rd is when they'll actually be going to do that ministry, so be sure to grab your bag. You can put them in the narthex if you've already got them done, and we'll move them over there. If not, you can drop them by the office. Next Sunday is our final Sunday to collect those. Wednesday the 13th, 10 a.m., cookies for the shut-ins. That's actually going to be going down here at, is that 10? Yeah, 10 a.m. on Wednesday. If you want to be here to help with the cookies, get them together for the shut-ins. And Judy Raines is in charge of that. Where is Judy? I saw Judy somewhere here. There she is. She's hiding back there. Do they need to make cookies? Do they need to make cookies?
They need to make them before they bring them.
Make them before they, well, yeah. Yeah, you have to make them before you bring them. Now I'll make Judy make. No, you can use our stoves. You can bring them unmade and make them here. And if anybody would like to contribute some cookies, I'm sure they would be happy to take those. And they go to our shut-ins and some other folks as well. That's coming up this Wednesday at 10 a.m. Quarterly business meeting is next Sunday, immediately after our service. Then also next Sunday is the Christmas Cantata, December the 17th from 6 to 7. It's our normal regular time right here in the sanctuary. And there will be a fellowship that will follow that. So once the cantata is over with, we will have a fellowship over in the next building. Now, you are key to having a really good fellowship. And you know why? You need to bring finger foods. If nobody brings any finger foods, all it's going to be is just fellowship one with another. But we Baptists and we like to eat. So bring some finger foods. If you have any questions, Sandy can let you know. Sandy Stewart back there on the back row can let you know what you need to do. Just bring a plate of something and we'll all share it together and we'll have a good time of fellowship one with another. Again, that's all next Sunday. Just as a reminder, Christmas Eve communion, which is naturally on Christmas Eve, we have two time slots for that, 6 o'clock p.m. and 6:30. Just come to one of those. Once again, it's only going to take you about 10 minutes. It's a time for you to pause, drag your family down here. Don't use it. Let them use the excuse that I didn't bring church clothes, because if they have clothes on, period, they're church clothes that day. Bring them down here. It's only going to take 10 minutes. We pause to have communion and to remember why we celebrate Christmas. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to stop the push and shove for 10 minutes on Christmas Eve. I'm going to stop by the church, and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him. So please join us for that. There's two time slots. One's at 6 and one's at 6:30. You don't have to sign up. Just show up to whichever one you would like. And then also, just keep in prayer, our Cuba mission date for this year is actually March 1 through 8. So pray for us. You'll hear more about that as we continue to progress. We got several folks now. Keep Jeff in your prayers as he continues to recover. I've said this before. Please, no visitors at this particular point. When you've had heart surgery, you don't feel like entertaining. We'll let you know when Jeff has progressed along enough. Yes, ma'am. What's that? Now, if you didn't hear that, it wasn't on my list, but 49th anniversary for you guys, what day? Thursday. That's the what? The 14th. 49 years. He married up. He married up. And then David and Donna, they're away celebrating their vacation this week, 60th. Anniversary on the 14th. That's Thursday. That's Thursday as well, on the 14th. So be sure to let them know that you love them and you appreciate them, and we'll make sure they're on the list next go around. So, guys, love you, appreciate you. I'm gonna ask remember me tomorrow. I'll be having that that surgery on that melanoma. I'm not worried about it, like I say, but I just don't like pain. So, I mean, I'm allergic to that. But I've been assured by our good doctor that it's not a problem, and I rest confidently in what he says. So I haven't worried a bit, Doc. I want you to know that. God uses you. And he checked on Jeff. He'd been keeping an eye on Jeff for us. Everybody else can't get in there, but Doc can. But Jeff is progressing along nicely. He's recovering good. So he's hoping to be able, maybe tomorrow or Tuesday, to be able to come home. Keep him in your prayers. I'm going to ask that you also remember my dad. I received word yesterday. Dad actually has had a heart attack and has pneumonia. He is currently in Princeton Community Hospital. And we'll probably know a little bit more about what his condition will be. I'm not sure what they're going to do yet. Mom said he is in stable condition. He did not fight her going to the hospital. So that's a good thing. But keep him in your prayers. I'll try to keep you posted as things progress with Pop. So as you know, he pastors Pipestem Southern Baptist Church. My mom is the piano player there. God called them into that work after they had both retired. Isn't that interesting? I think Dad's 85, so and he'll outrun me, I promise that. But at any rate, anything else I have completely forgotten or need, a lot of stuff going on. Know what's going on. If you don't, grab a bulletin. You know, that'll kind of help you stick it on the refrigerator. Let me let you stand. I'll dismiss you in a word of prayer, and we will look forward to seeing those tonight that need to be here tonight. Otherwise, I'll see you when I see you. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. I thank you again for your leadership, for your guidance, and all that you do. Lord, I pray that you will give us courage to follow your will. Lord, even in the times that seem completely illogical, help us, Father, to always know as you communicate with us what your will is so that you can do and accomplish great things. Lord, in the midst of the mess, you are there. I thank you for that. Father, for those that need our prayers, names have been called, I lift them up to you and ask that your hand be upon the circumstance of the situation and everything that is said and done, we will magnify you for it. Lord, bless us as we go away from here. Bring us back again to worship at an appointed time as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.